is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. Boy, cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hi there, welcome to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, along with Steve Tasker for the first hour of the show. Good afternoon, gentlemen. We're just having a little pre-show discussion about the role of social media in professional sports. It's taken over.
It's not just sports, it's the world. It's business, it's everything.
I know. What does that mean for us? That's a different show.
Well, it means we got to chop
it up. It means you got to do the show on social media.
160-second segments is what it means, something like that. You know?
Welcome to the show, Steve. How have you been?
Yeah, doing good. Big weekend. I was in Atlanta for a wedding and
excellent.
Made it back just in time.
Wedding.
Yeah.
Excellent.
My nephew.
Just in time to not play golf in Buffalo.
I know. It wasn't much better than Atlanta, believe me.
Does really? It look like you have a target chilly. Date in mind for when you finally get out and swing the golf club?
The drop-dead date for me has always been tax day, April 15th. We're usually on the courses by then.
And what happens if you're not? What do you mean drop-dead?
It'll be a new low.
You'll drop dead, literally?
No.
It'll be a new low. I don't know what a new low is.
Man, oh, man. It's been cold for a long time.
It has.
Even in Atlanta. For us. I mean, why, you know, lifers here. It's cold. It's a long, cold winter it's been.
See, when you go to Atlanta, down there, their weather is so bipolar. They have no clue if it's going to be 90 or if it's going to be 30.
Right.
And when it's 30, it's like, man, the world is about to end. But then when it's 90, they complain about that as well. Here, it's like, you know what it's going to be. Until a certain point of the year, you know. Down there, they have no clue.
But we should be seeing signs here. I don't want to spend 3 hours talking about weather. We are at the point March, right? We're still March?
Yes.
We're at the point where we should see some signs of something that looks like spring, and there's nothing that looks like spring yet.
Usually we'll get the 55-degree, 65-degree day, and then it'll drop back down, and we'll start to roller coaster a little bit. It'll fluctuate high and low, and we'll get, and then the more it fluctuates high, it's getting closer and closer, right? It's like first it's like every fifth day is good, and then it's every third day, and now it's every other day, you know, or every 2 days is good, and then 2 days are bad, whatever. And then all of a sudden we're there, and you got great weather. It's summer in Buffalo. It's awesome. We haven't gotten anything.
No, I know.
Nothing. It was 50 yesterday?
There's unmelted snow everywhere.
It didn't feel like 50.
It's an atrocity.
So
what's going on? I love Buffalo.
But.
Yeah, I'm usually the one complaining here. I don't know what's going on.
I love Buffalo, but man, oh, man.
We're taking after Donald complaining about weather. We can't do anything about it. We're here for 3 hours to talk about the Bills and the NFL and the NFL owners' meetings going on in Orlando, Florida, where I'm told the weather is okay, not great.
What is that, 65?
Yeah, sunny and 65 as opposed to sunny and 35. Steve, we want to get your take on a couple of things that we're going to talk about today, including the draft, believe it or not. The draft now a little bit more than 4 weeks away. It's pretty apparent. Donald and I do the show every day. There are some people who think the Bills should take their, you know, their six picks in the first three rounds and their nine picks overall and just do whatever they can to move up and get a franchise quarterback, a premium quarterback. There are others who say, no, that's too much. Let's wait and see. And let's use those draft picks to build up other positions. Our Twitter poll today, and it's up on Twitter. We want your phone calls on this as well. What should the Bills do in the first round of the NFL draft? Should they trade up for a premium quarterback? Or should they stay put at 12 right now in the first round, 12 and 22, let the draft play out? What do you think? Give us a call. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. What should the Bills' overall strategy be 4.5 weeks before the NFL draft? What should it be in the first round? Do they trade up for a premium quarterback? 72% of the early respondents say that's the ticket. Or should they stay put? 28% say stay put. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I think, you know, You didn't call me about this Twitter poll, but you should have had a third one there. You should have been on time.
Yeah, and we would have
If you should trade up for a quarterback, absolutely, but only if the price is right. You've got to get him for the right price. And I know this, that there's no question the Bills are burning up all these GMs. They're burning up Cleveland's GM. They're burning up the Colts GM. They're burning up all these guys that are ahead of him up there were at the Giants. But there's no doubt that, you know, you could make it happen, but you can't start chasing like that.
Right.
If you start chasing and start throwing 15 draft picks at one pick, it's a bad move. And there's no doubt that that's either the sticking point or why we haven't seen it happen already is because the Bills just aren't willing to pay too much mm-hmm. for that spot, knowing they've got so much draft capital that they can fall back on. Now, certainly they can – if it gets to that point and they get number 12, and even if they trade up and get another one inside the top 10 and another one or whatever, it comes down to what they have to give up to get that guy. And if it's too much – it's going to hurt. I think a lot of Bills fans are going to be really disappointed because they've postured and they've got all this draft capital to make this happen, and it just may not be possible. Those teams like the Giants and the Jets and Cleveland may just want too much of a price. Denver is the same thing. They just might want too much. And the Bills might say, you're going to have to pass.
You know, with the Jets trade with the Colts, when they gave up three picks to move three spots. So imagine they move from, 6 to 3. So the Colts move back three spots to number 6, and they ask for that much. And so if you're the Bills right now, let's just say this. I totally believe in my heart of hearts that moving from 12 to 2 or 12 to 6 is just out of the question. I think you need to move. 12 to 6 might be in there, but I think you need to move into the top 10 before you can even entertain, before any team in the top 5 will entertain your call.
Well, I mean, we talked about that. Isn't it go from 12 to 6 or 7 and then up into the top 5?
Right.
Yeah, but you got to know, too, if you look at that list, it goes Indianapolis Colts at 6. They don't need a quarterback. Tampa Bay, they don't want a quarterback. Number 8, Chicago, they don't need a quarterback. 9, San Francisco, they don't need a quarterback. Number 10, the Raiders, they're not going to draft a quarterback. Then you get the Miami Dolphins. They may.
They might.
They will. They will. And you get the Browns taking a quarterback, the Giants taking a quarterback, and the Jets taking a quarterback, and then the Browns again, and then the Broncos. So you've got four teams that are going to take a quarterback in the top 10, and then the Miami Dolphins at 11. That's your fifth team taking a fifth quarterback.
Yeah, so move up there. I think that's what some people say.
But, yeah, I mean, it's always going to come down to, and we talked about this yesterday, Murph, and like he was just saying, you don't want to get into a situation where you are chasing. You have to have a certain drop-dead point, as you talked about earlier, a certain point where it's like, I'm not getting outside of this parameter. This is what I'm willing to give up. If teams are starting to offer too much, then you just have to say forget it and stay where you are, pick somebody there, and then and build out your team through the draft. And hopefully you find a quarterback at some point.
You trade up to number 6 where Denver is, or number 5 where Denver is. You're not going to get Rosen, Darnold, or Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. You might get Lamar Jackson. You might get Mason Rudolph. Maybe you do get Baker Mayfield, Or maybe you get Josh Allen and not Baker Mayfield, When you start trading in and out. That's where it starts to become, what team likes who. But there's no doubt Darnold and Rosen aren't going to be there at number 3. They're not going to be there at number 3.
I don't think Allen's moving past 5.
I agree. What should the Bills do? We want to hear from you. Where are you on this first round dilemma for the Bills? Should they move up? Should they aggregate those draft picks, try to move up, give it a premium quarterback, or should they stay put? That's our Twitter poll. Phone line's open. We'll talk with you about it on the telephone line. Steve is here until 1. Brandon Bean was asked a similar question at the owners' meetings yesterday in Orlando, Florida. The Bills GM asked the question pretty simply, are the Bills going to move up in this draft to get a quarterback? Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's the speculation. I think we talked about it a week or two ago at the press conference at free agency. It's really have a lot of discussions with a lot of teams about all sorts of things. A lot of times you get into tangents that you didn't even think you were going to talk about. But I'm not going to get into specifics, but we're right now just focused on 12. I'm excited. I think I said that then. Excited to be at 12, and I think we're going to get a really good player there. I don't think 3 would be available if we were ever going to move up. I'm sure the Jets are happy there. So, again, we're just focused on 12. I don't know the motivation for their move. You'd have to ask them. But our focus is on 12 right now, and all the other picks that we have, we're excited for what we're going to be able to get done.
What do you think? You guys get anything from Bean as to which directions he's headed based on those answers?
I think they would like to move up, but I think they're looking at it with the possibility in their mind that we might not be able to get up there. And so when he says, I'm focused on 12, we want to get up there. We're going to do our due diligence. We're going to talk to every team and see what they want from us. But we also have to focus on this spot at number 12 and see what's going to be here at number 12. And if we have to stay here at number 12, what's the plan? We're plan of action at that point. Are we going to take a linebacker, a receiver, or will we draft the quarterback here at number 12? What do you do at that point?
Yeah, and I think, too, one of the things you have to remember is a lot of this might take place and transpire on draft day. When they see how the first three or four picks go, then, you know, you've got Denver, you've got Indianapolis, you've got Tampa Bay, you've got the Raiders, San Francisco, all those teams that seem to already have quarterbacks who may think, you know what, we're looking at this other guy. Then you might be on draft day, once they see how those guys get, and you may have a Baker Mayfield still sitting there, you might on draft day say, hey, listen, we'll package this player mm-hmm. with this pick to take your number 7 pick, and you can have our 12 pick. Mm-hmm. That's a deal that you could make on draft day when you see how the quarterbacks fall. But if your guy's already gone, then maybe you do sit pat at 12.
We talked about this yesterday with Chris Brown, Steve, Donald, and I about, and Chris made, I thought, a really good point. It'd be hard for Brandon Bean right now to make any big dramatic moves up right now until he knows what the Giants' plan is and what maybe some of these other teams' plans are. He doesn't want to give up too much to move up. And, like, say if he moves up to 5 and 4 quarterbacks go the first 4, including the one he's targeting, then what? Then he's giving up all these draft picks and doesn't get his quarterback.
That's right.
He may have to just play it a little slow. We've got 4.5 weeks until the draft. Just kind of take his time and assess the situation and kind of get a sense from the Giants and others what their plans are.
If you can't get to number 2, where are you going to go? You can't get – Colts just got to number 3. Or, I mean, the Jets just got to number 3. They ain't moving.
Right.
Cleveland, maybe they'll give you their number 4 pick after they've already got their guy, but I don't think they're going to do that either.
No.
So, yeah, this is what you're talking about. You've got to kind of watch this thing fall and see how good a chance you've got of getting one of those guys. And it's hard to see one of those teams that we've talked about from number 5, Denver, all the way down through number 10 mm-hmm. or 11, the Dolphins. None of those teams need a quarterback after Denver. It's the Colts, the Buccaneers, the Bears, the Niners, and the Raiders, and the Dolphins. None of those teams are looking for a quarterback except the Dolphins. That's a real question. I think you got to wait till that falls down there, and then maybe if one of those teams do it, then you jump up. But,
and if you're one of those teams in the top 5, I mean, at this point, even if you have the thought process of we're open for business, we might trade back, why would you do it now? I was surprised that the Colts actually did it now. You know, because, I mean, in business, you might as well wait till draft night when the price is going to go up, and you know teams will get desperate. It happens every year. Teams will get desperate. Look, we'll give you this, this, and this. Make the deal right now.
That's right, because if the Colts are sitting there at number 3 and you know, Saquon Barkley goes number 1, now the number 3 pick becomes the number 2 pick for mm-hmm. every other quarterback in every other position.
Mm-hmm.
So then that third pick is even more valuable because all those quarterbacks are still on the board. You know.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Colts decide to make that move because, you know, obviously they don't need they don't need that quarterback.
The Bills, what are they going to do? What should they do? That's the question we put to you on Twitter. You can weigh in on our Twitter poll at John Murphy Show or give us a call at 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. We've got more sound to play you from Brandon Bean, who met with the media last night at the owners' meetings in Orlando, and from Sean McDermott, who met with the media this morning. Coming up on the show today, Steve's with us until 1 o'clock or so. Ben Ostro, Football Zebras, joins us in the 1 o'clock hour. The catch rule has been approved 32-0 unanimously. NFL has a brand new catch rule. We'll talk with Ben Ostro, who follows NFL officiating and NFL rules about that. And we're going to break it too. The brand new Buffalo Sabre Mittelstadt will hold a news conference here in Buffalo at 2, and we'll carry that for you live with the hockey guys, the instigator guys coming in to handle that. The catch rule is approved 32-0. We have a brand new standard for catches.
I bet there are probably some owners in there like, I still have a – I don't know.
I don't know what a catch is.
I still don't know what a catch is, but all right, we're going to improve it because it sounds good. Because I don't. I mean, there's still that gray area. With that whole ability to make a football move, what does that mean?
You saw the catch rule, Steve, as proposed and now approved 32-0 today down in Orlando. It is 2 feet in bounds, control of the football, and make a football move, whether it's stretch across for a first down or stretch into the end zone or gather the ball in or make a third step or have the ability to do any of those things. That Donald and I yesterday were saying that's where the issue is going to be.
Listen,
how
I told
do you decide whether you have the
I told, and you said it, Murphy. You're down a rabbit hole with
keep going
instant
deeper.
Replay. And any way you write this rule, we're going to see a dozen or two dozen or 100 instances during the season where, well, wait a minute now. Mm-hmm. It's not going to make sense. And you're going to say, that should be a catch, and it's not. Or that should not be a catch, and they ruled that it is. So no matter how you write this rule, we're all going to become experts at it. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to say, oh, wait a minute. You know, that should have been a catch, and in the rules, it's not. Or this should not be a catch, and in the rules, it is. Mm-hmm. 100 times that's going to happen this season, because once you start doing it frame by frame, you can't escape it.
By the way, Donald, I showed you this before we came on the air. John Gruden, brand new head coach of the Oakland Raiders. I'd like to eliminate instant replay was his quote this morning at the NFL owners meeting. That would be my number one thing. Let the officials call the game. I that's my opinion. I try not to play that game of wish list. You know what I mean? He went on to say, I think slow-mo replay is the biggest problem with replay. This is Gruden talking, not me. Gruden.
John Gruden is now your mouthpiece.
I was just about to say, you might as well have Gruden fly you out to Oakland and let's campaign this thing together.
Gruden goes on to say, when you're looking at it as a catch or it isn't a catch at that speed, it's hard to tell. So I think if you threw that slow motion replay out, I think you get back to common sense. Let the naked eye determine some of these calls. Gruden's on the right path, fellas. Replay is the problem. They have a new catch rule approved 32-0 today. I think it will become a problem when you start to look at, did he make a football move? Did he have the ability and or time to make a football move?
Right.
That's when it's going to be an issue in replay again this year.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, I think replay is okay, but I'm like that. I think, hey, do it live action. I mean, show the replay like you just saw it in real life. Don't right. break it down slow motion. Just go ahead and use regular speed replay. And then go with what you see, the naked eye, and what it looks like. And if it looks like a catch, feels like a catch, smells like a catch, give them the catch.
That's that for me, that's what I would do. I just don't see replay going away, but at least do it real time. And give them only, you know, three times to watch that thing in real time.
Yeah. They've eliminated surviving the ground as part of the standard for whether it's a catch or not to catch. That's good. They say they've gone back to the standard of indisputable visual evidence. I don't know that ever went away, but apparently under Alberto Riveron, it did, Steve. Was there ever a directive from the league that said...
I don't know about that.
There was nothing from the league that said it's no longer indisputable
visual evidence. Listen, when Dean Blandino was in the booth in New York, it was pretty cut and dry.
Yes,
Dean had
I agree.
Alberto had a couple of them calls get away from him this last year that I was like, whoa. You know, I was like, you can't... Like one of these, we get back in the booth and one of them was like, the ball moved a little, but... I'm like, well, if it moved a little, it moved.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a catch. And he said, so, and they gave him the catch. And, you know, so that's, I'm like, well, God, you know, that didn't happen with Dean Blandino in the replay booth. But Al had a couple of those this year that had people scratching their heads and thinking, wait a minute.
I'm telling you, next year we're still going to have a whole bunch of instances. And I think this year it really came to light because it happened in so many primetime games, Monday nights, Sunday nights, Thursday night games. Then you had it in the playoffs, and you had it in the Super Bowl. And Roger Goodell was like, look, we got to do something here.
Right.
And next year, you're still with this whole ability to make a football move. Once you watch it on slow motion replay, you're going to say, well, he had the ability to actually take another step. What does that even mean? I mean,
right.
He had the ability to reach the ball out. He didn't reach the ball out. What are we talking about?
Especially right if you're Alberto Riveron and his staff, who, you know, they had this year. They showed where they are at now. I know they've changed the rules a little bit, but Riveron, I don't think, is up to the job, Steve. And I think it's, you know, he's going to be the guy still making that call.
Well, that's one more, you know, degree of difficulty. And I agree with you, Merv. You got to have it written down. It's got to be clear. And then – you know, the angle's got to be clear. The catch has got to be clear. All this stuff has got to. And then if you start throwing in judgment into the replay, it's going to get worse, not better. And that's really what they've done. I said, do you think he could have?
Right.
So you go back, and they always fall into this category, too. The Dez Bryant catch from, like, 10 years ago or whatever it was in Green Bay in the playoffs where Romo hits that pass down the sideline. Huge catch. And it was a catch.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming down with it, and he's got it tucked away. He reaches out trying to score, and the ball pops loose, and no catch.
Right.
After the guy, you know, caught it, came down with it, two steps, tucked it away, and then reached for the goal line because he didn't survive the ground. Mm-hmm. It was not a catch. you know, that's where it all started. And then you got the Jesse James catch this year in Pittsburgh against New England, where he catches the ball, takes two steps, dives, reaches the ball out, dives across the end zone, lands in the end zone. The ball hits the ground, loses it, loses control over it for a second.
Right.
No catch. That's so they're going back now with this catch rule to try and write those catches. I mean, that's a waste of time because those catches still don't count.
Right.
Did you guys see that somebody told reporters in Orlando last night the Kelvin Benjamin no catch in the Patriots game would have been a catch under the new rule?
Yeah, that one.
What are we supposed to do with that?
Yeah, who cares?
What are we supposed to do with that?
Nobody cares except Kelvin now.
Well, what are we supposed to do with it? As Bills, you know, people who follow the Bills, Bills fans, what are you supposed to think now?
It's like Dallas Cowboy fans and Pittsburgh fans. Right. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know? And that Pittsburgh catch, well, the Dallas catch was in the playoffs. That was like at the end of the game. That was a big-time play.
And the Pittsburgh catch was home field.
Home field, right.
So, and the Bills were battling for a playoff spot when they were at New England.
Right.
They were all critical plays.
So, I mean,
what are we supposed to do when now they say, oh, yeah, that would have been a touchdown?
We're supposed to be angry, Murph. We're supposed to talk about it on the radio. That's what is supposed to happen. Look at that. How does that not – they just showed the Kelvin Benjamin catch. Man.
Well, there's a new catch rule now, unanimously approved by owners today. We're going to talk about that a lot today.
A new old catch rule.
Yeah. Ben Ostrow will join us from Football Zebras coming up around 1:30. You're welcome to join us now to talk about that or talk about the Bills' approach to the first round. Are you one of those who think the Buffalo Bills should sell out and go get their quarterback no matter how many draft picks it take or even if it takes a lot of draft picks?
What if it takes like 12 draft picks?
Yeah. Yeah, don't – we want a simple yes or no answer here.
No.
No, you wouldn't. Okay. We'll put you down as a
number. I mean, that's a goal, but you can't overpay for that.
What should the Bills do in the first round? Our Twitter poll, trade up for a premium quarterback. 69% of you say yes. 31% of you stay put. You can give us a call. We'd rather hear from you on the phone line. Give us a call at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Call here from, is it Chancey in Bath, New York? Chancey, is that you or Clancy?
Yeah, it's Chancey. You got
Chancey,
it right.
Okay. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Love the show. I think they should stay put. I think the front office has done a heck of a job with free agency in the draft last year to acquire the pieces needed that broke the 17-year drought. And you guys said it. If the price isn't right, then you don't go after it. That's about it, guys. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's a reasonable way to look at it. But you can also look at it like this. You know, they broke the playoff drought. I know that. But they to build on that and to be good in the future, they need a franchise quarterback. You have a draft here where there are potential targets who could be a franchise quarterback, really strong candidates. What did Daniel Jeremiah say? Quarterback draft prospects are in this year's draft. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills loaded with draft picks. If you don't do it now, when do you do it? When do you do it, Steve?
You're right. When do you do it? But then you also have – you have teams that are winning the Super Bowl not having their starting quarterback in. And I think that weighs into teams' minds, mm-hmm. and I think that will weigh into Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean's minds. We have all of these picks. We can build out a team. And we can find a quarterback that will help this team get through this thing, but do we want to give all of the draft picks away to get one kid that we don't know will actually be a franchise quarterback?
Well, and there's another way to look at this, too. I mean, this is a – they've got a lot of draft picks in this draft. They have shown the ability to evaluate players and pick great players who fit their culture and who can be very productive early in their career, like Tre'Davious White, just is one example. They also went to the playoffs last year making chicken salad out of chicken poop. Mm-hmm. I mean, they constructed this roster out of guys they churned over the top. You know, everybody on the roster was new except for the top, 15, 20 guys. I mean, everybody was new, and they kept doing that throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've kind of got that established, and this is a coaching staff and a philosophy that has been proven to be very successful with what's there. And I think with the signing of A.J. McCarron, with another year under the belt of Nate Peterman, I'm not afraid to go into the season with those two guys. But no question, I'd love to have one of those top quarterbacks if I can get him. But I know this, if they don't get him, don't jump for him because the draft picks you'd have to give up are going to turn into really good players for us. And they're going to help A.J. McCarron. They're going to help LeSean McCoy. And they're going to help, Deion Dawkins. They're going to help all these guys in that front seven on the defense and Kyle Williams. They're going to get some quality players with all the draft capital they have in this draft. So I'm for the first time in a while, I think a lot of fans are ready to say, you know, they know what they want to happen, But they do trust these, you know, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, because they are leaving no stone unturned to make the team better. And if they don't believe they can do it for that price, I'll trust them and let them try and win games.
We get that sense from a lot of fans who just believe in this group, and that's good. But maybe you can offer them some suggestions today. What would you like to see him do in the first round? Here's a call from Daniel in Boston. Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I was sort of thinking – I don't think they need to trade up. And I'm curious your thoughts on A.J. as a starter and not even like a bridge. I mean, you know, these top quarterbacks in the league these years are 30-plus in years.
Yeah.
He's got a good passing percentage. And, I like how he carries himself.
Yeah.
And the other thing, the other thought I'd just like to hear from you all, too, is, you know, Lamar Jackson, I mean, I think, Donald, you talked about liking him. And, you know, I think the fact that they keep talking about him in terms of a wide receiver and, you know, I think, you know, the fact that he's black and they sort of go to physical attributes, maybe not that I love that, of course, due to the way that they're thinking about him, but it also might be an opportunity to snatch him at 12 without having to give up any capital. So I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson is a guy who, you know, he can come in, and he's going to be a project of some sort, but you know he can come in and make plays for you.
Right.
And so the biggest question is, in terms of throwing the ball, would he be an upgrade over Tyrod Taylor? We know he can make plays with his legs. Would he be an upgrade over Tyrod Taylor? And I think this is something that GMs across the league really have to think about, because we've seen it time and time again with the quarterbacks that are very dynamic coming out of college. But then once these defensive coordinators catch up to what these guys can do and what they can't do, they can shut all of that stuff down. And so that's why you hear so many coaches and GMs talk about you need to have a guy who can win from within the pocket. Because if that is the only thing that you can do is run with your legs, there's only a certain amount of time that you can get by doing that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. If Lamar Jackson's there at 12, I think they take him.
Okay.
I think they take him. Yeah.
I was going to say 12's too early, and 22 might be too early for him.
For Lamar Jackson?
Yeah. 12's too early.
I don't know. And I'll tell you what, he's a quarterback. Forget about that wide receiver stuff. Mm-hmm. If he's there at 12, I would have no problem taking him. If Baker Mayfield's there at 12, I think you take him too. But let's face it, I mean, there's only four quarterback spots there in the top 10 until you get to number 11 with the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Who are probably going to take
him.
Yeah, they'll take him. So I think Dolphins are the ones in the top 10 where you can actually go in there and maybe get the quarterback you may want. I mean, because there's going to be some quarterbacks out there that are going to be available. Once you get outside that top four, and that's what we're talking about, there's only going to be four, because Cleveland's not going to take two of them.
Mm-hmm.
That fifth quarterback is going to be there at 11 when the Dolphins pick. Unless somebody jumps up into the top 10 to grab
him. I mean, the state of the NFL right now, you have so many teams that need quarterbacks, like obviously need quarterbacks, and then you have teams on the back end of the first round that could just take a quarterback because their quarterback is old and he's going to be done in the next few years, like the Saints, like the Patriots, like the Steelers, even like the Vikings with Kirk Cousins. You know, they only have him for 3 years under contract. So I think you're looking at this thing and you're saying, okay, if we don't get the top four guys, we're sitting here at 12, and then you have a pick at number 22, and not just the Bills, but even teams like the Cardinals, teams like the Dolphins. Do we want to pass up on this guy and say, well, he could be there in the second round, knowing that those teams on the back end of the first round might take a quarterback just because their guy is getting old? And so that's the risk that you run if you pass up on a guy like Lamar Jackson or even a guy like Mason Rudolph. You know, where teams will say, look, he's a project, but he has the size. We can develop that over the next 2 years. And by the time Tom Brady or Drew Brees or any of these guys are done, then he could go ahead and step in and be that guy. So I think the Bills, that's something they have to think about. Do we take him right here? Because I don't know if we can get him in the second round. If we really like him, we might have to take him right here.
Bills have two quarterbacks on the roster right now, Nathan Peterman and A.J. McCarron. And Sean McDermott was asked about them, talked about them this morning at the owner's breakfast, or at the owner's meetings breakfast this morning in Orlando.
I'm excited about A.J. and Nate. I really am. Nate, coming off of his rookie season, I think It sounds like he's had a good offseason to this point. He's invested in himself and worked with some guys outside of the building, which has been good in terms of guys meeting some of those quarterback type guys out there. And so I'm anxious to see the jump that he'll make in his quote unquote sophomore season. And then you look at AJ and what he's been able to do. He's a guy that we looked at every single throw in his NFL career. You look at his resume over the years at college and then in the pros, and had a chance to win a big time playoff game in Cincinnati against a good defense there. So we're just anxious to get in there and get started.
They have the two quarterbacks on the roster, Peterman and McCarron, and Sean McDermott speaks highly of them. But all of us feel like there are more quarterbacks coming. What do you think? What should the Bills' first-round strategy be? Let's get to more of your phone calls when we come back at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Zay Jones was on the docket, too, from Brandon Bean. We'll talk about that when we come back. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. Steve Tasker is with us till 1 o'clock today. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, Steve Tasker is with us till 1 o'clock today. Coming to you live while the NFL owners meeting continues in Orlando, Florida. The league just released a list of the approved playing rules. Are you ready for this, fellas? Can I go through it real quick? Mm-hmm. Makes permanent. This is the new rule now. Makes permanent the playing rule that changes the spot of the next snap after a touchback resulting from a free kick to the 25-yard line. They've done that for the last 2 years, right? Free kick. You know, into the end zone.
How many free kicks have we seen?
No, you kick in the end
zone. You mean a touchback?
Yeah, touchback.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They've done that.
There's a difference between free kick and touchback.
Changes the standard for a catch. We'll get into some of those details as the show moves along. And the third one authorizes the designated member of the officiating department to instruct on-field game officials to disqualify a player for a flagrant non-football act when a foul for that act is called on the field. So, in other words, the replay official in New York can reach out to the officials on the field and say, hey, Rob Gronkowski, that hit on the back of Tre'Davious White, he should be thrown out of the game. I like that rule, too.
So that's a good rule.
I mean, that's a good rule, but is that outside the targeting? Was that in the same ballpark as the targeting?
There has to be a foul called, correct?
I'm not sure.
It said if
when a foul for that act is called on the field,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, okay,
yes.
So after a foul, and yeah, that's interesting because it doesn't – I wonder, because for me and like the Gronkowski hit the officials, you know, they'll call a foul and they'll step in, and then something happens away from the thing, and somebody throws a punch in, and nobody sees it.
Mm-hmm.
They still can't throw him out for that, I guess, because there wouldn't have been a foul called on that. See, and that's where I think the eye in the sky is really the most helpful, is when they get something the officials didn't see or couldn't see because it was away from the action.
And this is not just calling a penalty, but disqualifying the player.
Yeah.
That's big.
I'm all about that. That's really the penalty that hits the player where it hurts, and that's something that I think if they get thrown out, they get suspended for the next game too.
Those are the three rules changes approved by the owners just about an hour or so ago in Orlando. We'll talk with Ben Ostro, Football Zebras, about that coming up just about an hour from now. They're not changing the pass defensive pass interference, which was discussed. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Should've.
I thought they should have as well. They get 15 yards and, you know, and work out.
They didn't take the spot foul out. You right. know, given the, yeah, I mean, you get a 42-yard penalty. I mean.
Right. You know, and they I guess they don't want to take it out because it's like it could become a strategic move on a defensive coordinator or a cornerback's mind. But you don't see that happen in college football. You don't see guys just grabbing. So I thought they should have gone ahead and approved that one and made it a 15-yard penalty.
Seemed like there's another way to do it, right? I mean, a penalty longer than, what, 30 or 40 yards? Yes, we'll do a spot foul there. Everything else is 15 yards. There had to be some discussion about it.
And my thing is, I said this last week, guys already grab. You know, if a DB gets burnt and it's clear, he is going to grab. And he'll rather take the holding call instead of the long pass interference.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's already a strategic move in place. And so I thought they should have gone ahead and did the 15 yards.
We'll talk about all of that with Ben Ostro. Hey, there was discussion about Zay Jones yesterday and today. The Bills wide receiver going into his second year, arrested last week in Los Angeles. The charges later dropped. Insufficient evidence, according to the district attorney in L.A. And Zay Jones' status was the question posed to Brandon Bean, the Bills GM. Here's what he had to say in response to questions about Zay Jones and his status on the Buffalo Bills.
So Sean and I did speak with Zay, you know, after everything settled down, and, you know, he'll be back in Buffalo soon, and it's an unfortunate situation. It's probably the best way to phrase it, but, you know, I'm not going to – it was a private conversation between me, Sean, and Zay, and just going to leave it there.
Does Zay Jones face potential discipline from the NFL and or the Bills?
You know, I don't know. From us, we're just here to help Zay and work with him and get him back in town and you know, just get things settled with him. With the league, you know, they always investigate any time there's an arrest. So I'm sure they're doing their due diligence, but I don't know what the timetable would be on anything.
Is there any reason to question his status with the Bills and as a result of
No, that? Our plan is for Zay to continue to be a Bill.
That's pretty definitive from the general manager, and I think it makes sense, fellas. And Sean McDermott was asked about it today. He had sort of an interesting response. I don't have it to play for you, but basically he admitted that they weren't happy with what went on, but basically echoing what Brandon Bean said, he's a Buffalo Bill, which I think is the way to do this. I mean, now with the space of, what, 7 or 8 days since the news came out, what actually went down? Zay Jones had some sort of a quarrel argument with his brother, got a little bit loose and apparently kicked a window. There was blood on the walls. No charges from the LA officials. We'll see what happens with the league. Maybe he goes into the program, right? We'll see. Maybe he doesn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else you can do on this. There's reason for the Bills to be concerned about that incident, but I also think it may have been a bit overplayed last week. And you know why? Because of social media. Yeah. Because the video was everywhere.
TMZ came out.
I keep saying that's the world we live in now. Everything is instant. You know, I mean, somebody sitting there with their phone, probably with the door cracked open, like, oh man, there's a naked guy outside, and then well, all of a sudden, it's like, all right, well, now the Bills should move on from Zay Jones, and it's right. Like, whoa, they just traded up last year and invested a second round pick in Zay Jones to get him, and so you want them to move on from him. I understand he didn't have the best season that everybody wanted him to have, but no, they still have confidence in him.
McDermott's quote this morning. At the end of the day, it's an unfortunate situation and somewhat disappointing. It's a situation to me that we can all take something from and learn from. When asked if Zay could be cut from the team, McDermott said, at this point, we don't foresee anything like that happening.
And look, I mean, the guy, and I always try to say this when I have a platform.
You have a platform. Go.
Players are human beings.
Yes.
They deal with the same stuff that everybody else deals with. All right? So a guy might make a mistake. Whatever happened that night, that could happen to anybody listening right now, anybody out there. Just because he plays in the NFL doesn't mean that, oh, well, you know, he's not supposed to do anything. He's never supposed to. I mean, guys get in trouble. Guys make mistakes, and then hopefully he learns from it.
I think the thing about it is, in Zay's case, the people I've talked to around, it's not who – that's not indicative of who and what Zay Jones is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the club knows that. I mean, you live with a guy 24 hours a day for the 6 months after the training camp starts, and you see him every day, all day, and he can't hide who he is, and that is not that's an aberration of who Zay Jones is. So they're very willing to say, whoa, you know, what can we do to help you out and get you back on track? Because the track of his life doesn't head down the way that video would purport or make people think. And of course, in social media, everybody piles on immediately, thinking it's the worst thing in the history of mankind, but actually it was a bad night for a kid who's actually a pretty good guy.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back, talk more about the Bills' strategy for round one. Should they amass those draft picks, move up and get the premium quarterback, or should they kind of cool it, stay put? What's your take? We've heard from what Brandon Bean said, but what do you think they should do? Give us a call, 803-0550, and toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones here. Steve Tasker is with us for a couple of more minutes up until 1 o'clock. We're going to talk about the NFL rules changes with Ben Ostro of Football Zebras at 1:30. And we're going to carry the Middlestead News Conference coming up around 2 o'clock. Brand-new Buffalo Sabre coming from University of Minnesota. We're going to turn it over to the instigators who are working late today. Wonder how they feel about that, Donald.
The same way we felt.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had to work early.
Yeah. No, they're coming in at 2 to to cover that when the Mittelstadt news conference comes after his skate. I believe he is skating as we speak with the Buffalo Sabres at practice.
Oh, so it's practice. Mittelstadt.
Yeah, practice today. Game coming up on Thursday. Home game on Thursday.
First skate.
I always wonder when you're like, yeah, they want him to skate. And I'm like, so they just want to see him skate?
No, practice with the team.
They call it practice skate.
Practice.
Morning skate. That we don't have the tickets this week. I mean, I've got a bunch of tickets. But somebody else has got the tickets this week. But I've already been – my oldest son is saying, wait, we got to go.
You want to see him?
We got to go.
Casey
Millsap. So we may be there.
How many games you been to this year?
Probably 14. 15.
That's good.
Yeah, we go to at least about 15 a year.
Are you discouraged?
How many games you've been to,
I've been to zero.
Oh.
Are you discouraged?
Yeah, it's pretty disheartening.
Yeah.
It's pretty disheartening. Now, I've seen some pretty good games and pretty good stretches. And, you know, they play a little better this year than they did on the road than they did at home. And there was some stuff that I saw, but, you know, by the same token, I'm like, you know, it's pretty disheartening.
Sure it is. You've got money invested in that team.
Well, I mean, I bought tickets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I got a little skin in the game.
Sure you do.
But I'm, you know, hey, I'm going to get them again next year. I'll tell you that.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm, yeah.
He's a lifer.
I'm a Buffalo guy, man. I'm a lifer. I'm going to be there because I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you this truth. I went through some pretty cool stuff as a Bill. I mean, all the four Super Bowls and the comeback and the whatever, wide right and whatever, 51-3, all the things. And I was here when they broke the drought last year, which is as big a moment in this town as we've had for this team and wherever you can remember, when they got in the playoffs and we all watched together when Andy Dalton threw the touchdown to Cincinnati. All right, so I've been through some pretty cool stuff. One of the most memorable moments I've ever been in as a Buffalo guy was sitting in that arena and watching the Sabres play. Some of the best moments.
One game in particular, or one moment?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of them. When Derek Plant, I think it was Derek Plant, now I might have, Derek Plant, game 7 against Ottawa, hit that slapper just inside the blue line and went through Tugnut's glove and trickled in for the win. To win that series.
Yeah, they had not won a series in years before.
For me, that was one of the moments.
Yeah.
And a bunch of others have happened in that, and I'm kind of in it. I'm waiting for one of those moments again.
Good for you.
And I think they're coming. It's going to happen.
The draft is coming about a month away, and we want to know what you think the Bills' strategy should be. Our Twitter poll today, it's basically a yes or no question. Do you think the Buffalo Bills should give away a lot of draft picks to move up and get one of those premium quarterbacks? What do you think, yes or no? What should the Buffalo Bills do in the first round of the draft? That's our Twitter poll. Right now, about two-thirds of you say they should trade up for a premium quarterback. 33% of you say they should stay put where they are. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
Ooh, they changed. The percentages changed.
Percentages changed.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, people are listening to me. Don't overspend.
Vinny on the line from Buffalo. Hello, Vinny. Go ahead.
Yeah, the reason why I believe the Bills should stay at number 12, because we need a receiver. DJ Moore, Calvin really may be there at 12, and if he is, they should get either one of them. And then wait to the 22nd pick and get Mason Rudolph, let him develop under A.J. McCarron.
Vinny, that's a good call, except for one thing, and I agree with you 100%. They would like to have another receiver, but think about all those teams between 5 and 10, all of them have quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
All of them will draft a receiver for their quarterback. I mean, you go down the list. You know, the Raiders are going to get one because they let Crabtree grow. The Bucks will take one as well. The Niners will take one. You know, all those teams that from, you know, draft pick number 5 all the way through number 11 are going to take a wideout. And the Dolphins may too.
If that's the case. And this is why it's
the Bears
important.
Are going to take one, the Niners, the Raiders, the Buccaneers, the Colts will take one.
The Bears might take one. But that's why it's important for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean to be flexible on draft night and let it play out. Because if there's a run of quarterbacks at the beginning, and then let's just say there is a run of receivers, and all of a sudden, you're like sitting there at number 12, and you're like, all right, well, there's some linebackers sitting here, and we need a middle linebacker.
Or Chubb is.
Right, Chubb and they talked about middle linebacker out there at the owners' meetings yesterday. So, I mean, we know that's an area of concern for a lot of fans, and I believe it is for the front office as well. So, if you have a Roquan Smith or somebody sitting there at number 12, take them.
Yeah. Call here from Sherm in Queensbury, New York. Go ahead, Sherm. Welcome.
Hey, John, thank you. Well, I just think they ought to stay at number 12. You know, at number 12, you might be able to have a chance to get that tight end out of Penn State. And if not, let's get some offensive linemen. I mean, their offensive line has been, you know, maybe adequate at best for quite a few years. And also, you know, like Donald was saying, you need some linebackers. I just don't think you want to waste all them draft picks on, you know, I mean, that's a lot of draft picks you're going to have to give up to move up. I just, you know, the kid from Penn State is really, really good. I know he was saying that, you know, they're going to take wide receivers, but nobody's talking about tight ends, and that kid from Penn State is very good. He blocks well in the run. He's, you know, and he's got great hands. He runs good routes. He's a good, good tight end.
You know,
go ahead.
We had this conversation yesterday on tight ends.
Some people think there are very few, if any, tight ends who merit first-round consideration.
Some people might be this one person.
I believe
that. Right.
Very few tight ends, I think, belong in the first round.
And the kid out of now here's the kid out of Penn State is a really good tight end, really good athlete, and he might end up going in the first round. There's also a kid out of South Dakota State that I could see ending up in the first round. I don't think the Bills will take one in the first round. I mean, I could totally be wrong. I don't foresee that happening in the first round.
I think the Bills are going to rank those players that are coming out. All obviously they rank every player by the order of importance and how good he is and how high he ranks. So that I think what you're going to do and what you've seen the Bills try and get to, and it's a kind of an age-old way of doing things, and every team still does it because it makes so much sense. Through free agency and up until the point of the draft, you try to get to the point with your roster where you feel like you've signed enough good players that no matter what pick you have in the draft, when that pick comes up and it's your turn to choose a player, you can take the best, most likely player that's going to be a star or superstar in the NFL at any position. You just take the best guy that is left, whether it's a quarterback or whether it's a guard. You can get that guy knowing that when you make that pick, he's going to be on your team and a starter for 10 years. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of caliber of guy that you're trying to reach. So I think through this free agency period, now they got A.J. McCarron even at quarterback, so that if there's a guy out there who's going to be the best pass rusher in the draft and he falls to 12, they can take him and not feel too bad about it. And so I think that's kind of the philosophy they're going to look at. I don't think you can look at picking need, because if you're picking need and the best guard out there, that you need a guard or whatever, you know, the caller just said, and the guard really shouldn't have been picked until the fifth round, and he's only going to play 2 years, where you just wasted a high pick just because you needed a player, a body to fill a spot. So the philosophy is take the guy that's going to be an NFL player for a long time and pick him no matter where what position he plays.
How many teams do you think actually do that, though?
How many teams can afford to do that, can afford to ignore their needs?
This
the
one, I think.
Not
this
many.
One can. I think
Which
the Bills can.
Why?
Because they've proven that they can get the most out of every guy on their roster. I think they did it last year. They found Deion Dawkins. If you just said Cordy Glenn wasn't going to play before the draft this year, and all of a sudden they get Deion Dawkins, and all of a sudden he's a left tackle too. Mm-hmm. And now Cordy's not here, and they got a draft pick for him. So I think this is a coaching staff and a philosophy that says, listen, if we can make ourselves better in those spots, that's great. But if we can't, it's only because we've become stronger in what's already a strength. And a lot of teams have had a lot of sustained success being able to do that.
You know, I remember last year when the Bills traded back, people were upset, and we're sitting in here. And I remember opening that door out there and seeing everybody walk out because everybody was
so
mad.
I was emceeing the draft party last year. Man, it looked like a rat's off a sinking ship, man. that place cleared out
fast
because they were so bummed. And not that – it wasn't even so much about trading back. They didn't pick anybody.
Right, exactly. And you have some talent still sitting there. And they're like, you traded back. And everybody knew, all right, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock now to sit for this draft pick. Let me tell you, on this draft night, there might be some upset, a lot of upset Bills fans. Because they might not do what you want them to do, which is trade up to get a quarterback. They might sit there and take a linebacker. They might sit there and take a guard, like Steve is talking
about.
A tight end. You know? Yeah, a tight end. Like, they might do something like that because they feel like that guy is good, and it's not what everybody wants the team to do.
Going to be fun.
You know what? And that's the thing, too. I'll admit, they've been not so much with what they did, but the timing they did it and the things that they got done and how they did it were always like, wow, they were like a step ahead of where I – not only where I thought they should go, but how they were going to get there.
Right.
And so it's been really fun to watch these guys work the trades and the players and stuff because really – I mean, you go all the way back to E.J. Gaines at the beginning of the year. It's right. Like, you got rid of, you know, you let Sammy go? I mean, who is this guy? And then he came in, and they were like 8-3 with this guy in the lineup. So it's like, wow, you know what? He get more production out of him than we got out of Sammy on the whole 2 years he was here. So to me, that's intriguing. How they get this draft done is going to be as fun to watch as even the guys who they pick.
And they got more moves to make, I believe.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think
next month.
May trade down from 12. I get it. Even though they've already traded up from 21, but to do so, I mean, I'll be interested to see what they get out of it.
Yesterday, didn't they float the idea of even trading back?
Who did? The Bills?
Brandon Bean.
I don't know if he said that. I didn't have the whole transcript. No transcript for that.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, if they trade out of 12 and go to 15 and get an extra, they get the 12th pick or they go from 12 to 15 and get a 28th pick and get an extra second round pick. You know, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
That's when teams start wanting to jump up is when you can really make some hay and trade back.
It's going to be fun. Steve, thanks for stopping by today. We'll get you in here next week again.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
Don and I back with more. What should the Bills do in the first round? We will re-engage with you on that. Phone lines open. Also in the next hour, we'll talk about the NFL's new rules changes with Ben Ostro of footballzebras.com. All of that coming up on the show, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update at One Bills Drive. NFL owners meeting in Orlando, Florida have approved a list of rules changes. Most notably, they have changed the standard of a catch, making it simpler now, eliminating the provision that the ball must survive the going to the ground. We'll talk more about that coming up at 1:30 with Ben Ostro from footballzebras.com. But NFL owners have approved the changes in the catch. Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean meeting with the media at the owners' meetings in Orlando. McDermott and Bean refuse really to commit either way on whether they want to move up in the draft to get a quarterback in the first round. Brandon Bean said that's a speculation. He's aware of that. He doesn't think he'll get to 3 where the New York Jets are now, but Bean left open the possibility of moving up or perhaps even moving down. One day after the Rams added star defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh, head coach Sean McVay fully embraced the team's role about an even bigger star, Odell Beckham Jr. The Rams have a needed receiver. Giants decision makers have been dropping hints that they may make Odell Beckham Jr. available, and Sean McVay, being careful to avoid tampering rules, said he would continue to be active on all fronts. Colts quarterback Andrew Luck is throwing the football again in his rehab from shoulder surgery. He's expected to rejoin the team when their offseason conditioning program begins on April 9th. Frank Reich, Colts head coach, was asked how much Luck will participate in when he can start throwing with full velocity, and Reich said he won't know that until the team gets to look at its franchise quarterback in 2 weeks when they're on the field. And the Buffalo Sabres got their former first-round draft pick, Casey Mittelstadt, available for practice today. He agreed to terms on a 3-year entry-level contract yesterday. Mittelstadt likely to make his NHL debut Thursday night when the Sabres host Detroit at KeyBank Center. Last night, Buffalo defeated the Maple Leafs 3-2 at Air Canada Center. Jack Eichel with 2 goals, Chad Johnson with 39 saves in the victory. The team scheduled to return to practice tomorrow. Casey Mittelstadt is going to do a news conference just about an hour from now. We will carry that live. The instigators will be back to walk us through that. Welcome to the show, John Murphy and Donald Jones. Now, our thanks to Steve Tasker for joining us. A couple of things we want to talk about, Donald. We're going to hear from Terry Pegula, the Bills owner, who spoke just in the last hour at the meetings in Orlando. We'll hear from him. And at 1:30, as I mentioned a minute ago, Ben Ostro, the founder and creator of the website footballzebras.com, will join us to talk about the rules changes. A couple of things I want to run by you, Donald. First, you probably don't know Ben Wagner, huh? Do you know who Ben Wagner is? He's the voice of Canisius basketball, but more notably the voice of the Buffalo Bisons for the last several years. Ben Wagner has been called up to the big leagues. 11 seasons with Buffalo doing play-by-play, baseball play-by-play. Mm-hmm. He's now going up to the Toronto Blue Jays. Named today as the new radio voice of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations to Ben Wagner. He replaces
moving up there.
Yeah, good for him. That's the way baseball works, right? You get called up to the big leagues. He replaces Jerry Howarth, who's been an icon in Toronto baseball baseball on the radio for decades. And it's great news for Ben Wagner, a tremendous broadcaster, one of the hardest working guys you'll ever meet, and a great baseball play-by-play man who's now going to do Blue Jays baseball. Good for
That's
him.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Happy for him.
I mean, how long is the minor league season, the Bison season?
Like 142 games or so.
Oh, okay. So it's about the same grind.
It's a little bit the same.
About the same grind, but he travels with the team, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to be a lot more travel.
Yeah.
Further travel.
162 games, yeah. It'd be a little bit easier, I think, the travel, I'm sure.
You know, well, he'd be flying.
Yeah, flying on charters.
Yeah, and not necessarily on a bus every now and then.
Yeah.
Those trips on a bus when I was in junior college?
Yeah.
Ah, it's the worst. It's the worst ever. That was like the first thing that made me think I should have did my work when I was in high school.
Ben Wagner is going up to the big leagues. He's an Indiana native. His only setback, he's a Colts fan. I mean, a really good Colts fan.
Oh.
Really.
He's an Indiana native. You can't really knock him on that.
No, I won't knock him for that.
You can't knock him on that.
Did you see this, Donald? Back to the NFL. Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh Steelers head coach, says the relaxed touchdown celebration rules set a bad precedent for young players in the NFL. He said, it's for the entertainment of the fans. I respect it, but personally, I don't like it. It takes away from the game. Just not a good look for young people. Young people are not allowed to celebrate in that way during games, so why should we? You are an ardent advocate of touchdown dances. What do you think of Mike Tomlin saying that?
I was shocked that he actually said that. Mike Tomlin has the reputation of being more of a player's coach. Now, he is a disciplinarian out there. But I was shocked that he actually came out and said something like this, because he's always seemed like the type of guy that wants, to a certain extent, to allow the players to do what they do best, as long as it's not disrespectful. And, you know, he's had one of the guys in Antonio Brown that has been one of the biggest reasons why they actually made a change to the rule. And so I was just really shocked to hear him actually come out and say that. Disagree with him, respectfully. Disagree with Mike Tomlin. I think he's a great coach, but I just think that what we saw this year from the players was a total 180 from what we had been seeing in the past. There was nothing disrespectful. Yeah, it was choreographed. Yeah, you could say it in certain instances it got a little bit long, but at the end of the day, we always have to remember that this is entertainment, and the players on the field get paid to entertain the fans in the stadium and who are watching TV. And it's not just people of an older generation. There are a lot of young kids that are watching as well, and they love that stuff. They love to see it. Yeah, they can't do it, but
I was just going to say, that's Tomlin's point.
Younger the fact players of the matter
watch
is,
high school players, college players.
Hey, well,
it's
maybe
fun.
That's something you can use as a kid to inspire you to get to that point where one day I'll be able to dance.
The millions of dollars won't have anything to do with it.
When you're a young kid, that's not what you're thinking about.
You're thinking about dancing. That's
the one thing that you see. My son right now, when he watches it, my son loves football. He'll tell you, I want to play in the NFL, Daddy. It's not because I want to make millions of dollars, Daddy. It's other things, you know. And when he watches it, he'll watch Antonio Brown, whoever it is, Odell Beckham, when those guys dance, he will go immediately try it and try to imitate that dance. And there are kids that are watching the game. And I think that we get caught up and just we forget that there are actually young kids that watch this game. It's a kid's game.
Your son is going to play in the NFL. I've seen him run and throw, and
well,
he's pretty talented.
As long as he gets his grades, he'll be all right.
He doesn't listen to the show. You don't have to be daddy here for a minute.
No.
He's pretty good.
I mean, he's good, but, I to be honest with you, I'd rather him not play football.
Really?
Really.
What would you rather have him do?
Basketball, baseball, you know. Go be a computer engineer or something like that.
Okay. Because of the injury factor, the head injuries?
Yeah, the head injuries. I don't like it. But
we need to talk about that someday.
We should.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're talking about the Bills, their draft plans, their first-round draft plans. On Twitter, that's the question we asked. What exactly should the Bills do in the first round? What should their strategy be? You know, we do this show every day, and you hear some people say, look, I think they should stay put, stay at 12. Other people say trade up for a premium quarterback. I thought the vote would be closer than that on Twitter anyway, which says something about, I think, who the Twitter respondents are. What should the Bills do in the first round of the NFL draft? 66%, two-thirds of you responding on Twitter say trade up for one of those premium quarterbacks. In other words, use some of those draft assets to move up. 34% of you say stay put. That's what you say on Twitter. What do you say in the telephone lines? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The number's to call. Here's Edric in New Jersey. Go ahead, Edric. You're on the air.
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Good, man. Good. And listen, I think if you identify, two or three of these kids as as a franchise quarterback that's really going to make a difference in this league for a long time. I think you do whatever it takes to go up there and get that guy. You know, if it's a first-round pick next year, if it's a both first and a second, and I mean, I really don't care. You set yourself up for the opportunity to do that. It doesn't come around that often. You know, if you can't know, but if you think these kids can do it, I say you go up and do it, because you know what, John? I hear you about the precious draft picks, but you know, every year I was the same way. But every year I'm starting to change my mind, because you know what? I look at like last year, you know, like when we took a guy like Zay Jones the second round, I'm like, man, I would have much rather traded that second round pick for Jarvis Landry. I'm just throwing an example out there. I think a lot of GMs in the league, I don't think there's that much value anymore as there used to be, John. I don't know. I just feel like if you look at Jacksonville, they've been buying free agents for 5 years. You know, and finally these guys are starting to pay off. You know, New England, they've been missing on draft picks for years, and they're still consistent winners. I really think that, you know, next year we have over $100 million in cap space. Let's do whatever it takes to get this franchise guy, and let's buy some free agents next year. But let's be smart about it. You get what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, Eric. It's interesting. I would probably push back a little bit on both Jacksonville and New England. I want to see what Donald thinks. Jacksonville has drafted well and gotten some good contributing players out of the draft, recent drafts. Yes, they've been active in free agency as well. New England gets by with you know, mediocre drafting for one reason. That's the quarterback. So I think most GMs would prefer to have a lot of their own draft picks on their first contracts and have them be the leaders and the people who drive them to success on the field. I think because of the economic structure of the game, that's the kind of the plan you want. Your thoughts, Donald? What do you think?
I think Jacksonville has drafted some young, good kids. Now, this past year, they spent some money on free agency and bringing in the cornerback, A.J. Bouye. They brought over Marcel Darius in the trade, Calais Campbell, those types of guys. But for the most part, you know, Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey and all of those guys, I mean, they've drafted those guys. And they've been in the running back, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
I mean, they've drafted these guys, and they've been good. Well, they were good this year because they've been bad for so long, and they've been in the top 10 drafting for so long. And so it's finally where they had a good enough team when they added a couple pieces through free agency to really solidify that as a good team. Now, we'll see if they can continue on that path down there in Jacksonville, but – I think they had a mixture of young players and free agents. The Patriots, on the other hand, they have number 12. They have Tom Brady. They can get by and not hitting on all of their draft picks. Their model for a long time has been to bring in guys in free agency that they've seen play in the league, that they feel like can fit into their system. These guys are not the superstar type of players, but they fit into their system, and they're going to work hard and do exactly what they ask them to do. And so they can get those guys at a very cheap, low price, and those guys will come in, and they will just fit into that puzzle out there. And so it affords them that we missed on this draft pick because they have number 12 and because they're signing these free agents that have played in this league and fit into their system. Every team is going to do it differently. Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have talked about they want to build a team through the draft. They want to draft their guys, have those guys on a low cost, have those guys on rookie deals, and win games with their young guys, developing their young talent. Next year in free agency, I know everybody's looking at it. Yeah, reportedly the Bills are going to have a lot of money in free agency to spend. And they're going to have to spend a certain amount of that money. I get that. You have to, obviously, you have to spend a certain amount of money to your team. But I think they still would be strategic about it. They're not going to just sign guys because a guy has a big name. I just don't see that happening. I still think it's going to be based on if they feel like the guy is the right fit in the locker room, if they know somebody that knows that guy, they know somebody who knows somebody that knows that guy. I mean, look at all of their signings. There have been guys that they actually know. They have some history with. All right? You always hear about, yeah, I was Marshall Newhouse. Yeah, I knew Juan Castillo from my past. I mean, they bring in Star Latulele. Last year, how many guys did they bring up from Carolina? That is what they want to do. They want to bring in guys that they are comfortable with to come in here and pay big money that they know is going to come in here, fit into the locker room, work hard all the time. So don't think that they're going to next year because they have a lot of money. Oh, well, we're going to go sign the biggest name free agent out there on day one of free agency because that's the biggest name out there because we have all this money. I just don't see that happening.
What should the Bills do in the first round? Give us a call. Let's go to Steve in Ohio on the line. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. It's good to be here. Thanks for taking me every, like, once a week for my 2 cents.
Okay.
So anyway, I just want to backtrack. You know, when Steve Kasker was on, he had made the comment about taking the best player. And number 89 was a wide receiver, as I recall, back in the day. And he became what should be a Hall of Fame special teamer. And again, and like the caller one or two before you said about if the Bills, excuse me, value the quarterback as much as, to use the name of Jim Kelly or Marino or Elway or Cunningham, if they value that, you got to go. However, in the last few days since I've talked to you on the phone, I listened to Donald and you, and I don't know if you got the information, but Donald, yes, Brandon Bean did say something about they'd be open to trading back.
Mm-hmm.
Then you fill that team out because Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean, they are buying what he's doing. It's like Marv Levy. He is getting the best out of free agents. He's getting the best that trust the process from his players. So it's a tough call, but if you think quarterback is the hardest position, we all know, it's the one position that if you feel 99% that this is your guy, that he can change everything, Bean and McDermott will get the best out of the players around him. If not, you get the best player like Steve Kasker said, and we have needs and wide receiver, et cetera. And that's what I've got to say today.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Steve.
I just think once we get to draft night, and there might be some moves made, I would think that they're on the phone trying to make some moves. But if they can't find that partner, I think they're totally fine with sitting there at number 12 and taking somebody.
Yeah.
And whether that's a quarterback, receiver, linebacker, whatever the case may be, I think they are totally comfortable with that. They have a bunch of different guys that they are comfortable, more than comfortable enough taking at number 12 and feeling like this guy can be a franchise player moving forward. And I know that will upset a lot of Bills fans, but you can't just get into chasing because you haven't had a franchise quarterback in so long. You do have to set some parameters on how much you're going to give up. It's kind of like if you're buying a house, you have a budget. Well, you got a $300,000 budget. You're not going to go buy a $500,000 house because good. Oh, I like this house.
Yeah, some people would.
Some people would. Some people would, but it's not smart.
No, it's not smart.
Yeah.
We want to know what you think, and we're looking for your direction. Which way would you push the Bills to give a lot up?
I said I know some people.
Give a lot up to move up and get the franchise premium quarterback, or play it conservatively? I find it fascinating. I thought the Twitter vote would be close. It's not really. It's like a 66% percentage say move up, right? 66% trade up. The phone calls, though, Donald, mm-hmm. you'd have to say, are saying stay put. It says something about our audience. Our mm-hmm. Twitter audience, I think, a little bit more, what, are they younger? Probably. The phone audience, a little bit more conservative, right?
Yeah, the Twitter audience and millennials.
Yeah.
And
trade up, go for it. Go big or go home. On the phones, people are saying, don't give up too much. Here's Paul and Kim are going to say that, right, Paul? That's what you believe.
That's what I'm saying, too.
Yeah.
Look at when they moved up to get Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
And a couple of years later, we're still not any better.
Well, they got better last year and went to the playoffs, but your point is well made. Sammy was not a factor in them making the playoffs, and they traded him away after a couple of years.
That's what I mean.
But quarterbacks are different, right, Donald? I mean, quarterbacks, and the previous caller from Ohio, Stephen Ohio, made this point. And it's hard to tell with McDermott and Bean if they have a strong conviction that whether it's Josh Allen or any of these guys, Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, then they should go get him. I mean, they have the open door, I think, from Bills fans. I think if they made a move like that, yes, Bills fans would be happy. Wow, look at that big splash. The Bills are exciting on draft day. But moreover, I think most Bills fans would be like, well, We're all in with McDermott and Bean. They did a heck of a job last year. If they believe in this guy, we believe in this guy. And I think that would be maybe an interesting way to look at it, right? They have so much working capital, McDermott and Bean do, among Bills fans. They can do what they want here. They can be adventurous. They can kind of make a big splash if they want to, if they feel that strongly about one of
the
quarterbacks.
In the years past, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here, in the years past, if the Bills were in this position and they decided, yeah, we're going to stay here, take somebody at 12, then you would have had a lot of fans that say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with this team.
Yeah.
I'm not watching anymore. But I think they have enough confidence in the fan base as well to sit at number 12 and just build out the team. And the fan base will say, you know what, I would have loved for you to trade up. I'm a little upset that you didn't, but I trust in you actually being able to draft guys and draft some talent, bring some talent on this team, and we'll just have to win with A.J. McCarron and Nathan Peterman. I still think that they'll end up taking a quarterback at some point, and whoever that quarterback is, you know. So, yeah, I mean, they have the confidence in the fan base, and they can go either way in this thing. And the fan base will be upset if you have a bunch of people that are saying, nah, you should stay put, and the Bills decide to trade whatever away to go up there and get a quarterback. They're going to say, all right, well, I believe in that guy because I believe in you. If they decide to stay put, you're going to have the other side of that thing where the fans want you to actually trade up and get a quarterback. You don't. You decide to stay put. And at some point, they're going to say, all right, I trust you. You're going to build out this team now, and we're going to win that way.
Talking about this because Brandon Bean talked about it yesterday, not really giving any indication on whether he plans to move up. He may move down. He did say that. They may stay put. We want your direction. Which way do you think the Bills should go? Bills owner Terry Pegula met with the media just about an hour ago at the owners' meetings in Orlando, Florida, answered a variety of questions about a number of topics, including what does he think of the free agents the Bills have signed in the first couple of weeks of free agency. Here's what Terry Pegula said.
Their staff, you know, they talk to me, too. We all work together, and, you know, it's a heavily thought-out process. They do a good job.
And how involved, for instance, have you been in, like, say, some of these checking out the quarterbacks, the visits? Have you gone along on some of the trips?
I went on the trips. I like looking at young athletes, whether it be my daughter playing tennis, football players, hockey players. I enjoy talking to these young adults and trying to evaluate them.
And because it's the quarterback position, you are the owner of the team. What input or discussions or what your thoughts just are on the quarterback depth chart, where you guys are now?
You know, we have A.J. Nathan last year. He's grown a lot. He's a smart young man, good person. So, you know, without tipping our hand in what we're going to do in the draft, we look at all positions. Could be a quarterback. We're not in as bad a shape as you might think we are at that position right now.
How much of the process when you see these athletes is also maybe getting to know them yourself, meeting with them? I mean, especially if it's a quarterback, you're going to want to make sure the face of your franchise is someone you're comfortable with.
Yeah. And the guys that I was present talking to, very impressive, really good, classy young guys.
When I saw you coming out of the Indianapolis Stadium. Mm-hmm. On that, were you there watching the quarterbacks throw that day, both sets?
Yes.
What do you do when you're in the booth there? Are you constantly picking the brains of both Sean and Brandon, or what would you be doing?
When I see something, you know, I'm an engineer, so I understand science, so I'm really into numbers. When I see something that I don't understand or I want clarified, I talk to them, but I bring stuff up to them like, you know, I got my stopwatch out, you know, time and passes as best as I can.
How much discussion has there been at these meetings, or was there, regarding the protest that took place by the players during the national anthem?
You know, obviously a lot of that or most of it is privileged. We are working towards a resolution. The players, the owners, coaching staff, our management, we all love our country. And it's a tough, tough situation. And we're working towards a resolution, the league.
hopefully soon.
Well, Kim, at her appearance at the Sloan Conference recently, made a reference to compromise and didn't really get to expand on it, or it wasn't expansive. But what was that all about, and what in your mind is would a compromise be?
Compromise. Like I said, we're all Americans. Okay. Some people voice themselves differently than I would. I do different things than you would about something that is bothering us. So, that's all I can say to that. I respect my players. I respect the players' union. And we'll try to get a solution that all Americans are happy with.
You were outspoken on the catch last year. Kelvin Benjamin was not ruled a catch, and we know, and we heard your thoughts on that. When you hear Al Riveron yesterday basically emphatically say that's a touchdown, does it make you frustrated? What's your feeling on that? And now that the rule is changed, what is your thought?
Did Al say that?
He did.
I heard you. He, okay.
That's a touchdown.
I wish he had said it back during the game. Yeah,
that's right,
yeah, yeah.
That's right.
What are my feelings?
Yes.
Hey, you missed one, Al.
Terry, this is your first experience with Brandon Bean heading into the draft. What are you learning about him?
Brandon has got a very unique way of dealing with people. He ribs you. You know, we get along really well. He's a good guy, very thorough, very thorough.
As you go through this, you're constantly wondering, probably, did we make the right decision? And as he works through things, how is your decision being reinforced?
Well, the most impressive thing I think that we accomplished is him and Coach are joined at the hip and at the head. They think alike, and they're both very thorough people. They can make instantaneous decisions like a coach has to during a game, but they also think stuff out to the point where you say, wow, these guys are very thorough. Like, you would think a football coach couldn't think like that because everything is instantaneous during a game. But he's also a deep thinker and goes through, as you guys would call it, the process.
Do you feel any sense of relief, weight off your shoulders now the drought is over? I know there's always internal pressure anyway to always win, but just what is that feeling like now compared to when you bought the team in the subsequent years?
I cannot believe the way our team reacted in the locker room. I'll tell you a funny story. You guys may have heard this already, but most of our coaches, except for Sean and maybe one or two others, were in the in a back room. We're all in the locker room watching the game. And when that play happened in the Cincinnati game, they heard our locker room erupt, and they were on 6-second delay in the back. And they came running out, and they said, what happened? You know, we're all hugging each other and kissing each other, right? They never saw the play live, and it was hilarious, you know. It was funny.
Wow.
But your question, I didn't answer it.
That's okay. The sense of relief, maybe a weight off your shoulders. Is it a weight off your shoulders as an owner?
Yeah, mostly off the fans' shoulders. You know, you got to feel good for our fans.
Terry,
now we got to keep it going. It's not good enough.
You've been through this pre-draft process a few times now as the owner. How has your involvement evolved over the time period in your involvement in the decision-making and the process leading up to the pick?
Well, like I said, I like to do the science part of it. So, I contribute whatever I can, either analytically, mathematically, you know, into anything we do. I like to get involved that way.
Have you thought about, and Brandon's done a good job of trying to convince us that there's not necessarily going to be another trade-up, but would you be comfortable trading up if it meant a lot of draft picks?
I'm going to pretend I'm playing poker with you right now. Okay.
I understand.
I know, I saw a tell in there.
Thank you, Terry. Okay. Just one more. Just the opt-out of the stadium lease is now less than 2 years away. From what I'm told, if you do that, it doesn't necessarily, of course,
foretell anything, but it would give you more stadium flexibility with what you could do independently of any political entities. Is that something you've considered doing?
I'm going to give you the same poker answer. We talk about that heavily internally, but not publicly. Okay?
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Terry Pegula, Bill's owner, Terry Pegula, at the owner's meetings in Orlando, Florida, just about 1 hour ago. He wasn't going to give up anything on the possible trade-up. He said he's playing poker. That's the way you should, that's the way you should answer that.
Right? Yeah. I mean, why would you
tip
your hand on on any way? I mean, no, look, we might sit here. We might trade back. We might go up. I don't know.
What do you think of him with the stopwatch and him using his scientific?
That, you know,
I'm glad. I mean, he's a smart guy. He's a really smart guy. So why not, you know, put another smart guy in the room? He might not be a football scout, but you get another smart guy in the room to look at it from another perspective. What's wrong with that?
I mean, look, he's the owner of the team, right? But you think when he weighs in, like Sean and Brandon look at him like, yeah, all right.
No, you can't be – no, you don't want to be dismissive of him, not just because of the owner. He's a smart guy.
No, he is a smart guy. He's a smart guy. And I'm sure, you know, he brings in whatever – in terms of numbers, he brings in whatever he can – he adds whatever he can add to the room. And
yeah.
You know, if they say, look, we like this guy, he might even say, well, or I have a question for him. Well, you know, give me some numbers on this guy.
Yeah.
I want to know that.
Hey, we're going to switch gears a little bit in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk with Ben Ostro. He is the founder and editor-in-chief of FootballZebras.com. The NFL today, just about an hour and a half ago, not even, just about an hour ago, approved brand-new rules changes, including a new catch rule. We'll get Ben's take on that when we come back. Donald and I back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back with more from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, in our One Buffalo studio up in the Ad Pro Sports Training Center, where the NFL action is going on in Orlando, Florida. Within a couple of hours now, the NFL owners unanimously approved a new catch rule designed specifically to avoid controversy that deals with going to the ground, hanging on to the football when you go into the ground. Brand new rule on catches proposed by the competition committee. Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a guy who follows the business of the NFL when it comes to rules and officials. He is the founder and editor-in-chief of FootballZebras.com and the man who wrote the book, So You Think You Know Football, The Armchair Ref's Guide to the Official Rules. We're happy to have Ben Ostro on the line with us. Ben, John Murphy and Donald up here in Buffalo, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks, John. It's like New Year's Day for us rules buffs, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. A new catch rule. Tell us your take on what the rule means and if it accomplishes what the commissioner set out to do when he talked about it back at the Super Bowl.
Well, I think that they've got what they are trying to accomplish, which is to try and get by working backwards and saying the Des Bryant catch was not ruled a catch. What do we do to make that a catch? Because we're looking at it with our eyes and saying that that's a catch, but it's not matching up with the rules. Same thing with the Jesse James play at the goal line this past season. And so by working backwards, they said, you know, we have to get this going to the ground component out of there. Now, that was put in more as an officiating mechanism and a replay mechanism. So I think what it does is it adds a little more subjectivity from an officiating standpoint. I think you're going to see a lot more replay on some of these catches. They'll be involved anyway on the goal line and and any of the turnovers, which would be most of the disputed catches at that.
Ben,
but it's really going to add a fine little subjectivity to the rule, I think.
You know, Ben, the one thing that you just said there that sounds like you're actually scratching a chalkboard to me is there are going to be a lot more replays. And I think that's the one thing that I just don't want to see is a lot more replays and seeing the refs have to go under the hood time after time after time. And I just feel like the way they have it now still adds that gray area in there in the discussion. And so you are going to have a lot more replays.
Right, and like I said, most of the disputed catches involve the goal line in these situations. So, yeah, you're going to be reviewing touchdowns that, you know, you have a guy on the field who called it in real time with his eyes. He's like, this is what I saw, snap decision, I got it. and now it's going to go to New York, and it's going to be shuttled back and forth on their video monitor, and you're going to have Al Riveron or one of his two assistants making a decision on that catch there. So, yeah, I it's nails to the chalkboard to me, too, I'd have to say.
Hey Ben, it seems like, as we kind of anticipate how this might play out, it seems like much of the ambiguity would come from the third element of a catch. So you've got control of the football 2 feet down, and this third element, you know, football move, and the part of the rule that talks about the ability to make a football move. I'm not quite sure where they're going with that and how that's going to be judged. Are you?
Well, generally, it has always been in the rule book going back to the 1940s, where you have the ability to do something with the ball. They want some element of time that shows that, hey, you didn't just have a fingertip grab on the ball and then quickly lose it, but that momentary amount of possession does not complete the catch. So they're looking for you to be able to turn up field and all of these things. Of course, you're in the end zone. You're not going to be doing any of these moves. You just have to be able to hold on to it long enough that they've recognize that you have the ball, you're holding on to the ball, so that in sense essentially becomes your football move, just holding on to the ball.
Wow.
But I don't think that the time frame is going to narrow down. It's not going to be like the Calvin Johnson catch from years ago where he rolled over and then put the ball down on the ground. It's going to be a much, much more narrower time window in terms of judging that.
Now, Ben, will they watch this thing in real time? Under the hood, you know? I mean, how can you get that time frame if you're watching it in slow motion?
They're supposed to, and the overarching term that they use is it's a bang-bang play, where if you see catch ball out real quick, that there's just very little separation of time where you could just say bang-bang and those two things don't, they're deemed to be nearly simultaneous. And so then in that case, they would say that it's an incomplete pass if the control is lost that quickly. But if they can see, as you say, in real time, they're going to replay these in real time and say, you know, did that ball come out at, within a reasonable amount of time, or did he actually, lose it very quickly? My personal look at it is if you've looked at the same play three times, and unless there's some other angle to provide you some other aspect, I think you're going with stands by the time you've looked at it the third time. If you haven't seen the compelling evidence at that point from what you're looking at, you really have to stay with the call that was made on the field.
We're with Ben Ostro, founder, editor-in-chief of FootballZebras.com, the website that deals with rules and referees. Bear with me on this for a second, Ben, because this is my personal campaign. John Gruden, head coach of the Oakland Raiders, said, I'd like to eliminate instant replay. He said that today at the owners' meetings. Look, I would too. I think if you take replay out of the equation when it comes to, all right, catches or rules in general, I think the game would move along smoother. I trust those guys on the field to do their best at getting it right, and replay does not guarantee they're going to get it right.
Yeah, well, we took it away from the most of the 90s there, and they were scratching and clawing to bring it back, but in a limited capacity. Mm. I do think that in some cases that replay kind of extended beyond what the initial purpose was, but it's just become this little add-on thing where we start tacking more things onto, well, we can fix this, we can do this. And it really comes down to replay is not going to fix everything. It's going to handle those really objective things where it's like, okay, there's a score involved. Okay, there's a line involved, whether it be the sideline, goal line, end line. All of these things which are subjective matters, and then we wind up bringing the catch rule in because that winds up determining possession and other things. And so that's really where we should draw the line, that subjectivity. I even heard people say that we should throw out the catch rule out of being reviewed entirely or only review the first two aspects of the catch rule. They're starting to get into, a lot of different lines there, but I do think, replay is always the claw end of the hammer. It's not the hammer itself. It's there to fix the obvious mistakes.
You know, Ben, for me, and you talked about them actually watching it in real time, I feel like they should watch everything that they're reviewing in real time. And that just allows for, because the refs are on the field, they make a call in real time. So the guys up in the booth back in New York should actually be seeing it in real time so that they can make the call the same way.
Well, the one thing that that's going to run up against is everybody watching at home, and they get the still frame, and then, you know, you see the toe on the line, and everybody that wants that to be out of bounds will say it's out of bounds, and everybody that doesn't want it to be out of bounds say, oh, just let it run real time. And I think that's where where replay started to really start to pick up. When we got high-definition broadcasts in the early 2000s, we wound up getting a little more detail than we had been accustomed to. And, you know, replay really had to catch up. You know, the replay rules had to catch up with this enhanced look, more cameras, higher quality images there. So, yeah, that's the one thing that you run it in real time. You run the risk of, you know, are you able to detect something that, you know, the viewer at home is saying, I see it right there with my own eyes, and they're being handicapped because they have to watch it in real time.
You know, it just sounds like you can't satisfy everybody. Some people are going to be upset, and that is what it is.
That is something I found out from the very beginning. Can't satisfy everybody, that's for sure.
Hey, Ben, there is also a change already approved by the owners regarding use of the replay officials for disqualifying players for a flagrant non-football act like the Rob Gronkowski hit on Tre'Davious White last year. What do you see from that? What do you think of that move?
Well, I think from what I've heard, the officials actually asked for that because they're being asked to eject in egregious circumstances. Well, you know, that's a little vague, and, you know, the officiating executives know exactly what they're looking for. So then you also add an element. So in the Gronkowski hit, you have officials that are trying to separate the end of the play. They have post-play duties that they're trying to handle and all that. And, you know, they may miss some of these elements where there was an actual elbow to the head. They saw the late hit. They flagged the late hit. But now in replay, you see that, hey, maybe that hit was a little more flagrant. And requires an ejection. You also have any of these fights that occur. They're trying to separate. They're trying to keep everybody cool. They're trying to take down numbers. They don't need that extra. They would like to have that extra ability to have someone who can have an overview perspective instead of someone who's like right there in the middle of two combatants, and all they have is a flag and a whistle,
and
trying to separate this, but then also trying to say, well, to what degree did everybody's participation come in on this play?
Yeah.
So it's an extra little help and something that the officials asked for, though.
Last thing, Ben, there are rumblings coming out that there might be something else coming from the owners' meetings dealing with a college football-style targeting rule enacted in the NFL. Have you heard anything about this?
Well, they've always looked at targeting. They did review it at the initial meetings, and initially they had passed on it. And now I'm hearing that there's going to be a quick write-up. I have not seen anything written as far as what the rule is going to state. I would have to say at this point, if they're cooking it up in a two-day time frame, that they will probably table it and bring it up at the May meeting. Because this involves a lot of review of video and say, okay, with this rule as it's written, this is how it's going to apply to these plays. And so I'd like to see a little bit more, but it's an interesting thing. I thought it was going to happen this year that they would go to the targeting rule. But there is some emphasis. They're going to try and take some of the helmet hits out. So they're going to kind of expand like the spearing rule a little bit under the points of emphasis. But they may just take this up in May and just say, hey, look, we're just going to go all in and make it a full-fledged targeting rule.
Ben Ostro's book is So You Think You Know Football, The Armchair Ref's Guide to the Official Rules. How do folks, if they're listening, get their hands on that book, Ben? What should they do?
Oh, well, you can go to thinkyouknowfootball.com. You can get it in hard copy and digitally.
Digitally, you probably have it updated, right, with new rules? You'll eventually get to it, I would think.
Well, as we're going through these new rules, it is going to be updated on that site there, and you'll have all the updates. So as it affects the rules, we'll have all the updates there.
Ben, thanks for this. Thanks for making yourself available today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Okay. Ben Ostro is the founder, editor-in-chief of Football Zebras. Good website, footballzebras.com, that deals with officiating and NFL rules. His book is So You Think You Know Football, The Armchair Ref's Guide to the Official Rules. Ben joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Donald and I back in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Yes, we're back. John Murphy, Donald Jones back here in our studio. That's what One Buffalo's all about, Donald. Darn it, that's what I'm talking about when we talk about One Buffalo. We got Casey Mittelstadt doing a news conference down at KeyBank Center. We bring the hockey experts in here. They handle it, and I mean they handled it for 25 minutes, then toss it back to us. That's what One Buffalo's
all about. Toss it right back
to
us, and then we just take it over and we bring it home for the next.
Bring it home. We're bringing it home for the next 30 minutes or so.
That's right.
That's what One Buffalo's all about, Andrew Peters and Craig Revee. Those guys are unbelievable.
I'm telling you.
Thank you, Petey. You were great. Nothing? He was pretty good. They were good.
I don't know if they really liked it too much, but.
That's all right. We did that a week ago, didn't we, or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you just got to take one for the team.
It's One Buffalo.
Andrew Peters and Craig Revee. Just take one for the team.
Now we're talking Bills for the next 30 minutes, and you're welcome to join us. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. I want to get your thoughts, though, Donald, your evaluation.
On Mittelstadt?
Yeah, Casey Mittelstadt. Give me your thoughts.
I think he's a very good.
That's why we let
I was going to do some do what's that segment we do? Recap from the future?
Yeah, recap from the future.
Yeah, I was going to try to do that, but no, let's get in some football talk.
That's why we let those guys handle it, because we don't know Casey Mittelstadt. Seems like a good kid. Here to talk about the Bills. There's stuff going on today, including rules changes approved within the last couple of hours by NFL owners. The catch rule is different now. They've changed the standard for a catch. Now, we've talked about some of those, and we talked to Ben Ostro about that just about an hour ago. You know the rule where after a touchback, 25-yard line drive start?
Yeah,
that's permanent now. It used to be it was a one-year experiment for 2 years in a row. And
it was a one-year experiment for 2 years.
Yeah. The officiating, now the replay officials in New York, now will be able to instruct on-field game officials to disqualify a player for a flagrant non-football act when the act is called on the field. So three rules changes, some bylaws differences. We'll talk about that with you, about the process of a catch, I think, is the one that is most important. Phone lines open to 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. There's also this, our Twitter poll, our thoughts of the day. Are you where are you on this issue? Do the Bills move up? Do the Bills consolidate some of their draft picks to try to move up to get their franchise quarterback, their premium quarterback, or do they stay put? They've got 9 picks, 6 in the first 3 rounds. Where are you on that? Phone lines open on that, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. That's our Twitter poll. Mm-hmm. And on Twitter, it's interesting, the Twitter respondents, 65%, about two-thirds, say, I want to trade up for a premium quarterback. 36% say, I want to stay put. The phones are kind of the other way around. The phone callers say, stay put. Different audience, different users of Twitter versus users on the telephone line. That's illustrated today. I want to see them trade up. Now, I'm not talking about giving up everything, Donald, but I do want to see a good faith effort to move up. Will it be difficult? Yes. Do I want to give away the entire 2018 draft? No. But I think it's going to be a while when the Bills are in this kind of situation again, where they have this much draft capital to spend and this kind of quarterback class to spend it on. So I want to see them try to move up. That's all I'm saying.
I think they're trying, and I hope they're trying. I do hope that they're trying, but I want them to be smart about it, and I'm pretty sure that they will be smart, and I think they'll put the parameters on it, and this is what we set in terms of what we're willing to give up. Based on what the Jets gave up, you already know it's going to be a lot to move up the 3 spots for them. You're talking about having to move up twice. So how much would it cost the Bills to actually move up from 12 to 6?
I don't know.
You're already going to have to give up some picks for that, and then you got to move again if you wanted to get up to 2, which if you want to get the guy that you want, you better get up there to 2, because I don't think there is a consensus on who's going to be number one. You heard Hugh Jackson today come out and just raving about Josh Allen's pro day and how strong of an arm he has and all of that stuff, when everybody had it as Sam Darnold was going to be the number one overall pick.
There's
after
also
his pro day.
At the owners' meetings, Dave Gettleman, Giants GM, raving about Saquon Barkley. Did you see some of that today?
I didn't see him.
Oh, yeah, just raving about Barkley. The running back from Penn State, maybe that's where their interest lies. We'll see. That could change things up a little bit.
That could change things because, I mean, if you want Saquon Barkley, he's kind of in the same ball. He's not a quarterback, but he's kind of in the same ballpark as the quarterbacks. You can't risk jumping back too far because you might not get them.
What about next year's draft picks? You brought that up. It was brought up yesterday. Brandon Bean, Bills general manager Brandon Bean, met with the media late yesterday afternoon, and he was asked specifically, are you open to giving up some of your draft picks from next year's draft in order to move up and get a quarterback? Here's what the Bills general manager had to say.
It makes us, you know, a lot better. If it's a player that would be worthy of that, yes. You know, we'll do anything we can to make our roster better. And I'm not locked in that I would or I wouldn't. It would have to, I mentioned that earlier, it would have to make sense and have to be a player that we really felt strongly about to do that.
Do you plan on bringing the consensus, like top six quarterbacks in for free agent, or for pre-draft visits, or is it just maybe a few of them? Without giving names, obviously, wouldn't know.
Yeah, we're at least going to bring guys in that if we couldn't visit with them out there, then we'll bring them in here. Some will do both. We're kind of mixing and matching to make sure we get enough time with them before the draft.
Brandon Bean, late yesterday at the NFL owners' meetings, he was very particular about how he answered those questions, Donald, and he would not rule out anything using next year's draft picks, moving up, moving down. You know what I mean? He really, it's almost masterful how he managed to leave every option open for the Bills.
And not slip.
Yeah. It was about a 10 to 15 minute session with the media. Every option open as far as what he told us yesterday. And McDermott was pretty similar today.
It's a tough position to be in. I mean, that's why you get paid the big bucks to be the GM, because you can't tip your hand to any team. It's business. And so you can't tip your hand to anybody else when you know so many different teams want probably the same person that you want in the draft. And you're sitting there, and you're not really in prime position to even though you have a lot of draft capital, you're kind of in a weird spot sitting there at number 12, because it still takes a lot to get all the way up there.
Yeah.
And so you know there are a bunch of teams already in the top seven that might decide, all right, we want to trade up and get this guy. It might not be a quarterback. It might be whatever. And you might have one of those teams that say, all right, cool, we can trade back to number six and number seven, and we'll be fine with that. And so the Bills are in a tough spot, so they have to make sure that they don't say anything. Because they might have a deal already in place that just hasn't surfaced yet. It's kind of just that gentleman's handshake. This is what the deal is. We won't say anything about it until then. But maybe they don't, and that's why you got to keep all options open.
Let's work through a couple of phone calls here. Here's Brad in Rochester. Hi, Brad. Welcome. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Of course you go up and get the quarterback, and you do what you got to do to go get one. You get one of the top four. I don't know why anybody would think sitting at 12 is a smart idea. We've been looking for a quarterback for how long? I mean, all these years of just average to below average quarterbacking. Maybe Drew Bledsoe had a couple good years here. But other than that, to be consistent winner in the league and be consistent playoff team, not like last year. We had a good year last year. We got in the playoffs. To be consistent and get in there year after year after year, you got to get the franchise quarterback. And I'd hate to see Miami or the Jets get to the top four, and we're sitting there and we get the consolation prize of Lamar Jackson or Rudolph. They're in our division. You got to go do it now. If we don't do it now, when do we do it? And if we wait a year or 2 years or 3 years, you're still going to have to give up a lot of capital to get up there and get one of the top one or two guys. This year we got four guys that are supposed to be projected as good players. You go get one this year, chances of us going getting one of the top two quarterbacks in the next 3 or 4 years, you'd have to get rid of just as much as you would this year to get up there and get one, and we might not have the collateral to do it. So unless we're really bad and we're drafted in the top two spots in the next 2 to 3 years, you got to do it this year and get it over with. And if you're being in a McDermott, how many years do they have here? Before they turn it around consistently, you would think they'd want to go get that quarterback. And I would think Terry Pegula would also want them to go get the quarterback this year.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that's what Bean and McDermott set out to do last year on draft day when they made the big move down in the draft. But other people feel differently. It's a good point. You make some strong points. But other people have a different idea on that, Brad.
You can look at it and say, well, how many years do you have to actually go get a quarterback? And I understand that argument. You could also look at it and say, well, at least if I build out a very good team around whoever's playing the quarterback, we'll have a good team. And we'll have a lot of young players around that quarterback, and we'll be consistently a good team. You might not
be a
great
championship team, though.
You want to be a championship. You do want to be a championship team. But
you want to be good. You don't want to be 9 wins and scrape your way into the playoffs and hope that you score a touchdown in a playoff game.
Well, just because you might not necessarily draft a kid this year doesn't mean you're going to be a champion. You're not going to be a championship team.
But as the caller, Brad, pointed out, what are you waiting for? When do you make that move? You got all this draft capital in your pocket. You got a pretty good draft as far as quarterbacks. What are you waiting for, to finish 2-14? Is that what you need to do?
I don't know. I just don't. Look, I don't want them to trade the entire draft away.
Nor do I.
I think that's what you have to do, though, to get from 12 to 2.
Maybe you don't. Here's a call from Nick in West Seneca. Hello, Nick. Welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, I think we should stay put at 12. I think that we get a linebacker or wide receiver, whoever's best at the position right now, or right there. If we have Ridley, you know, available, you take Ridley. If not, you go linebacker. And then you take Lamar Jackson at 22 if he's still there, which looks like he probably will be. I don't want to give up the whole draft. I think we needed too many pieces around the team to stay as a contender in the playoffs. And I think that I believe in being McDermott enough to make that decision wisely. And I think that's what it's going to take, because I really don't see the Giants giving up their pick at 2, and I don't see the Browns giving up their pick at 4, and anybody else, you're pretty much losing your quarterbacks by then anyway.
Okay. I mean, there you have it, Donald, the other side of the argument. I thought it was a much closer argument than our Twitter poll would indicate, because we get these calls, you know, for weeks now.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people say move up, go get them. Some people say sit tight. Here's a call from Ron in Buffalo. Hello, Ron. Welcome.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay.
My question is this. You know, we evaluate all the quarterbacks and find out reasons why this one is good and why this one isn't as good and why they don't fit, and they're all – you're taking a chance on all of them, and we're all looking for the next Tom Brady. My question is, in the draft when Brady was available – why was he rated so low?
Because it's not an exact science, Ron. And because
he didn't have a great college career.
Yeah, he didn't have a great college career. So you have to ask, well, why didn't that coach actually put him in?
He was not a physical specimen that would get your attention back then. In fact, you know, people laugh at his pictures from the combine, right? I mean, people look at him and say, what? Those are the reasons why. Everybody who didn't draft him in the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth round is wrong. They should have drafted him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we agree on that?
If you didn't take him number one overall,
you were wrong.
You were wrong.
But that goes to Donald's point. The draft is an inexact science, right? Is that what you're trying to say, Ron?
Well, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. You know, anybody we go and pick, it's, you know, we're guessing.
Right. But your chances of getting the good guys are better the earlier you draft. And there are you mentioned Tom Brady. It's a bit of an outlier, by the way, that a Hall of Famer comes in the – Hall of Fame quarterback comes in the sixth round. If you look at draft picks, most starters, most franchise quarterbacks are going to come in the first round, I would think. And there will be misses there as well. Look, how many quarterbacks do you think in the first round this year? 4 or 5? Probably not 6. 4 or 5?
4 or 5.
How many of them are going to be franchise quarterbacks?
2.
2 or 3 at the most. 2.5.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're looking at here.
Exactly. And it might not be the first two that come off the board. Like,
right.
You might have the first
right.
two come off the board, and then you have the next three actually end up the good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how inexact this thing is.
I just don't think you can approach it being afraid of making a mistake. You know, everybody loves Sean McDermott. Everybody loves Brandon Bean. Invest in them. Put your faith in them, and don't be afraid that they might miss. They might. They've made some pretty good decisions so far. Who are you going to trust? I just don't want people to be afraid to, if we use a lot of picks and move up and draft a quarterback early, you know, top 5, let's say, we might get it wrong. You might get it wrong, but you got to take your swings. You got to try. No?
I guess.
No, you don't sound convinced.
I'm not. I'm not convinced. I'm not. I'd rather have more draft picks and more chances to miss on a bunch of kids than to use them all and miss on one kid.
Let's go to Lou in Lockport. Go ahead, Lou. You're on the air.
Leo.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Leo.
Well, I'd like to see him just take the best player available at 12, address the quarterback issue later on in the draft. I mean, there's other guys that haven't even been mentioned, such as Luke Falk, who may or may not be just as good as the guys you might take 1 through 5.
Well, he's been mentioned on this show, and most draft analysts will tell you he is not as good as the guys are going to be picked in the first half of the first round.
I've seen that on NFL Network that they actually compared to a Tom Brady. They says, well, what will New England do? Well, New England will stand pat, take Falk in the second or third round and let him season, and then, you know, and if you look at his junior numbers, he was the top four rated quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell off on the senior season, and now he hasn't been as popular of a pick as the other guys. And another option may be is after the start of the season, if in Philadelphia Carson Wentz is then healthy, the Nick Foles trade option might also open up.
Might be. You're right. Any thoughts on that? What are you laughing about? What?
Was he by a waterfall or something?
I thought he was by a fish tank. Did it sound like they were goldfish swimming?
I don't know what was going on.
Leo, thanks for calling. Let's go to Nick in Buffalo. Go ahead, Nick. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, John.
Sure.
John, I personally want to say this. Go out and get the damn quarterback this year. get the damn quarterback. I'll tell you why. John, I said in the beginning of last year, the incoming talent in college football this year is the greatest talent in the history of the NFL coming in. If you don't trade this year to get your quarterback, guys in the thirds, late thirds, fourth, fifth, in other years would be a 1, 2, or 3 in other years. The difference between talent this year, like the eighth-rated quarterback and the second-rated cornerback or linebacker, they're not that far apart this year. There's just a little tweak here that makes you a first or a fourth. It's not that great a difference this year. Everybody in every round, 6, 7 rounds of talent is tremendous this year. So if you give up your 1 and 2 this year, you're still going to have picks in 3 and 4 in other years. That's going to be just like having a 1 and 2. So you're really not losing that much if you give up your early round picks this year. This is the year to do it. Is it a freak year for talent? Maybe. But this is definitely the year. Go out and get the damn quarterback this year.
All right, Nick. I think you've made your position pretty clear. Donald, Nick, it's a compelling argument.
I get everybody's argument. Go get your guy this year. And if they do, look, I'd be happy that they went and they got their franchise quarterback, who they feel like is their franchise quarterback. And hopefully that kid pans out. I mean, you just got to hope that they draft the right kid and he pans out. And he does become your franchise quarterback for the next however long, 10 to 15 years.
20 years.
20 years, however long.
Brady.
You know. Right, exactly. if they don't and they sit put and they draft a bunch of kids, I'd be happy with that as well. Hopefully they draft those kids the right picks.
Because you're just a happy guy.
Yes, right.
Yeah. We're going to break. We're going to gauge Donald's happiness. We'll take a break. We're back with more. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
Good question. What have we learned is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider, the Buffalo Bills. We had Steve Tasker in studio with us for the entire first hour, 12 to noon, and asked him to focus in on the question of the day. What are you doing? Are you consolidating your draft picks, moving up to get one of the premium quarterbacks, or staying put where the Bills are right now? We asked Tasker about that, and Tasker talked about the Bills' pursuit of a quarterback in the draft.
You've got to get him for the right price. And I know this, that there's no question the Bills are burning up all these GMs. They're burning up Cleveland's GM. They're burning up the Colts' GM. They're burning up all these guys that are ahead of him up there at a play at the Giants. But there's no doubt that, you know, you could make it happen. You can't start chasing like that.
Right.
If you start chasing and start throwing 15 draft picks at one pick, it's a bad move.
Steve Tasker on the chase for a quarterback. Donald and I will talk about that in a moment. Ben Ostro joined us today. He is the founder and owner of FootballZebras.com, the website that deals with NFL rules and officiating. The NFL today officially changed the catch rule, that new simplified catch rule, and Ben Ostro had this take on the new catch rule.
By working backwards, they said, you know, we have to get this going to the ground component out of there. Now, that was put in more as an officiating mechanism and a replay mechanism. So I think what it does is it adds a little more subjectivity from an officiating standpoint. I think you're going to see a lot more replay on some of these catches. They'll be involved anyway on the goal line and the and any of the turnovers, which would be most of the disputed catches at that.
Ben Ostro of Football Zebras, we both gagged when he said there'll be a lot more replays used.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what it'll be? It'll be about the third component. 2 feet down, pretty easy to determine. Control the ball, pretty easy to determine. Did he make a football move? Did they have the ball long enough to make a football move? That'll go to replay. That's going to drive us nuts, my prediction.
I think it's going to be more replays. That whole, did he have the ability to make a football move? Did he make a football move? That right there is just like, wait, what? And then they're going to slow it down. And every time you get somebody and it's going to be close, so you take the whole going to the ground out, but now you add something else. That's how I look at it.
Hey, our Twitter poll today was pretty interesting, and it was a little bit different than the phone calls we took. The Twitter poll dealt with what should the Bills' first-round strategy be when it comes to getting a quarterback. And about two-thirds of you, 64%, said, go for it. Trade up for a premium quarterback. 36% said, stay put. Am I putting you in the stay put category? Are you there, Donald? Right. And as far as trade up for a premium quarterback, I'm kind of there. And listening to Tasker and listening to his comment a minute ago from his first hour with us, Tasker talked about you can't start chasing that quarterback. I guess I'm looking for a controlled, modified chase for a quarterback. I think you do have to chase for a quarterback once in a while.
I think you need to go for it, but I think you need to, and I said it earlier, Steve said it, put parameters on it. Don't get outside that.
All right. Thanks very much for tuning in. Thanks to our production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Honiter, Kelly Rood, our producer, Jay Harris. We are back tomorrow at 12 noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.